my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a wonderful scene in the movie A River Runs Through It, where the older brother is being homeschooled by his father, and he hands him a piece of paper, a piece of writing. The father takes out his red pen and makes notes and hands it back with corrections and says, "Half as long." Well, you know, rather than tell you about the scene, Jose is gonna show you the scene. It's the other one that I sent.
So it was with my formal education as well. Each weekday, while my father worked on his Sunday sermon, I attended the school of the Reverend McLean. He taught nothing but reading and writing, and being a Scot, believed that the art of writing lay in thrift.
Half as long.
Half as long. A little louder.
So while my friends spent their days at Missoula Elementary, I stayed home and learned to write the American language.
Again, half as long. Good. Now throw it away.
Any of you have a father or a mother like that?
Yes.
Any of you have a teacher like that?
Yes.
I had teachers like that. We remember those teachers. We remember them as tough, and tough teachers were just that. They were tough in the moment, but we remember them for a reason. Because tough teachers held us to a higher standard. They required us to dig deep and do better again and again. In college, where there were 30 of us in our acting company, we went into Joe Stockdale's theater history class together after 1 week when we handed in our essays that just told about us. He kicked all 30 of us out of his class, requiring us to take an expository writing class because he said none of us could write a complete sentence. So we had to take that class and come back the next semester to take theater history. It was one of the best classes I ever took, although I still am not very good at writing. Now I send my writing to Beth, who takes her red highlights on the computer and sends them back to me. But the toughest teacher that I remember was Mr. Talbot Thayer, who was our choir teacher in high school. This was back at a time when choir was an entire subject that you could take. And the first thing he would do was to make sure that the kids that were there really wanted to be there, that they weren't there because they thought it was an easy grade. And it wasn't easy. And anything worthwhile is rarely easy, including our faith journey. And Mr. Thayer taught us the art of waiting, which, as it turns out, is also an art in our faith journey. We would sing our alto part, and then we waited. And there was no talking or doing anything else, not even reading, while we sat there and listened to each choir section learn their part. That was a painstakingly slow process for a 15-year-old. But in the end, when it came together, when we created music, we did entire masses in Latin. We cut an album. We won awards. But most importantly, I learned what it meant to have a strong work ethic, what it meant to have self-discipline, and what it meant to collaborate. Just like the father in the scene that you saw, he expected we could do it better, And when the performance was over, we moved on to the next thing just like that, note by note. We were good, but we were expected to do better. Now, many call Jesus rabbi, which is teacher. And at times, he's tough. You're good, he says, and you can do better. We generally don't think of Jesus as tough. We have a tendency to oversimplify Jesus, to domesticate him, some call it. We tend to think of Jesus the way we introduce him to children. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. He is strong. And to be strong comes with an enormous responsibility, and it includes expecting more from one's pupils. To affirm their goodness, yes, but then to expect more and hold them to a higher standard. And in this morning's gospel, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. They aren't new to God. The disciples are good students. They've been following God for some time. They know the laws. They follow the laws. And Jesus is saying, good, now do it again. Only do it better. Yeah, you don't murder, good. But you can do better. You should also be keeping hatred in check. Or you don't commit adultery, that's good. But you can do better. You shouldn't be objectifying others. And you follow the letter of the law regarding divorce, good, but you shouldn't treat people as disposable, and you should make sure that the most vulnerable women and children are provided for. But you don't swear or lie, good, but it's not good enough. You should speak and act truthfully in all of your relationships. This entire section is about how we should be relating to one another. The law is good. But we can do better, he says. And that's as true today as it was then. It's one thing to follow the rules. But when we follow the rules in one area of our life and then make some really lousy choices in other areas, it's just not enough. It's not enough to follow the law. We have to keep in check what's in our heart and how we treat those around us. Why? It's for your own good. That is, it's for your own goodness. The good that's in us, given to us by God at birth. But we're born with another ability. We're born with this goodness. But then we're also born with some call this the other thing, we're born with evil. Born with good on the one hand and evil with the other hand. But I prefer Rabbi Stacy Friedman, her take on that. She once said in a sermon, I don't like the word evil. I prefer to say we're born on the one hand good and on the other not so good. Our goodness is like anything else that's living and breathing. It needs water and it needs light. It needs nurturing, and sometimes it needs discipline. It's for our own good when God gets tough and says that's not enough, you can do better, and you should, for your own good, but also for the good of those around you, which for Jesus is one and the same thing. Love God, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. We can always do better, and it's for our own good collectively. Sirach 16 and 17, he has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whatever you wish. Before a man and a woman are life and death, and whichever he chooses will be given to them. New York Times columnist David Brooks wrote an article this week. It was titled, "This is How Scandinavia Got Great, The Power of Educating the Whole Person." Welcome, have a seat wherever you like. So in this article, he writes about generations of a phenomenal educational policy that began in the 19th century. First, it comes with the recognition that if a country is to prosper, it means educating the least educated among them. And learning doesn't ever stop. It's a lifelong process, and it becomes part of the natural fabric of society. We in this country think of education as reading and writing and arithmetic, biology, but in Scandinavian countries, to educate a person means the complete moral, emotional, intellectual, and civic transformation of the whole person. And there's a focus on understanding that the relationship between things, between self and society, between a community of relationships and a family and a town, that's the kind of education that Jesus is teaching, one that takes into account the personal responsibility towards all relationships, God and self, self and family, friends, society, and ultimately all of humanity. This is kingdom building. And it's good to follow the law, but it's even more than the law. And we can do better. Why? For our own good and the goodness of those around us. Showing up at church is good, but it's not good enough. What we do here, what we practice here, what we receive here should always be taken out there. And the values that we exhibit, the choices that we make as Christians should reflect the values of our Lord and Savior. Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so, but not always the way we'd like. He holds us to a higher standard, and he holds this country to higher standards of decency and kindness that, quite frankly, we've been missing lately. We've lost sight of what it means to do the right thing, the morally good thing, the just thing. Righteousness was never about us. It's always about God. Our country was built on it. Even our currency reflects this. Next time you look at a dollar bill, take a look at the back. In 1935, the pyramid was added with an eye. Now, some call the eye the evil eye. Others call it the eye of God. God looking over us as a country and with the image of a pyramid, because pyramids are seen as lasting throughout all ages. And some say the pyramid is unfinished on purpose as a reminder to us that we're never finished as a country, that we can do better and we are meant to do better. And this I is one of choice between good and not so good. Choose good for your own good and the good of others. Choose good. Now, Jesus spoke to the common beliefs or laws knitted into the fabric of that society. You've heard it said, he said, but I say to you. Now, hear this morning's scripture again, only hear it as translated into a poem by Christopher Burkitt. You've heard it was said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Your learning of life dulled by your age. But I say to you, the tree grows until its dying day. Living is learning. Experience and the new knocking on each other, making discipleship true. For if you know only yesterday's answer, where will you meet the risen Christ anew? And you've heard it said that a friend in need is a friend indeed, your action spurred by trouble or demand. But I say to you, an ally anticipates, knows before the alarm, the urge to empathy, the need to act and intervene for the good. For if you wait for the call, hesitant, reserved, can the name friend be a true title to you? You have heard it was said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Your imagination held tight by what is. But I say to you, a better way there may be. Sight isn't vision. What's comfortable can be a sham. How things are excludes too much. For if you let what is be all, then where do you see the kingdom's changing call? Let us pray. Gracious God, take our eyes and see through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. May we be the masters of ourselves so that we may be servants to others. Amen.